Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. We're highlighting women's health this month and would like to encourage women and girls to prioritize their health. One of the ways to do that is by becoming physically active. Our guest for this episode is Dr. Toby Brooks. He is an associate professor and program director for the TTUHSC School of Health Professions Master of Athletic Training. Dr. Brooks has worked as an athletic trainer and as a strength and conditioning coach with numerous professional, collegiate, and high school athletics programs. He shares with us what women can do to ease in or step up their exercise routines and why we should think of it as a long-term investment and gift to ourselves and our families. Dr. Brooks, welcome back to our podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Yeah, I am an athletic trainer by trade. Also have worked as a strength conditioning specialist for the past 20-some odd years. I direct the Masters of Athletic Training program in the School of Health Professions in the Department of Rehab Sciences, and have spent several seasons working with both female and male athletes, primarily football, but also spent some time with women's collegiate gymnastics.
Well, again, welcome to our podcast. We're happy to have you.
Thanks.
This month, we're focusing on women's health. So what are some of the health benefits women can experience through regular exercise? And that's young, middle-aged, and older women.
Yeah, there's really not much that exercise can't help with when appropriately dosed. If the mode, the modality is correct, the reps, the sets, those kinds of things are appropriate, then we can see physical benefits in terms of body composition, bone mineral density, protection against injury. We can also see mental benefits, just self-perception and self-efficacy, all those types of things. So for young women, I feel like it helps establish some independence and belief in self, for sure. For middle age, helps stave off. As we age, our metabolism naturally slows somewhat. And if our nutrient intake doesn't change, then our body composition starts to trend in a direction that we're not terribly happy with. I think some of the biggest benefits, you can think about exercise almost like a long-term savings account. And the benefits for skeletal health take years in order to really make a positive impact. So protection against osteoporosis isn't something you're going to see in a week or a month. It's literally decades of work that helps protect against falls and the injuries and negative health consequences of fracture in elderly male and female athletes, for that matter.
Are there specific exercise considerations that women should keep in mind? And should they adjust their workouts throughout different stages of their life or even pregnancy?
Yeah, I think for young competitive athletes, this isn't necessarily a difference for males or females. But oftentimes the workouts are going to be more rigorous. They're going to be kind of purpose-driven through performance. And I'm seeing this in my own home with my son. He's a senior who's graduating. His baseball career just ended last week. And we had a conversation just a couple of days ago about how the weight room can and should change. He's not training to perform anymore. He's training to live. And so I think after whatever that season of competition is done, it's really about what can I settle into as a normal, healthy part of my routine? If I'm training really, really rigorously, then the weight room or my conditioning may be something that I dread. I've got a coach that's pushing me and, oh, here we go. I've got 7 a.m. workouts. Well, now that he's 18, that's a different question altogether. He doesn't have those coaches that are going to push him. It's up to him to come up with something that he can live with and embrace and become part of his routine. So middle age and beyond, it's really about what's sustainable, what's enjoyable, leaning into the things that feed your soul, not that feed on your soul. And I think for many, that may mean we've seen a huge rise in sports like pickleball, where it's competitive, but also there's a social aspect to it. CrossFit, one of the big benefits of CrossFit has long been the sense of community, where people feel like they're part of something larger than self and they don't want to miss because they don't want to let their friends down. So there are important aspects to that. As we age, I think the research is fairly compelling that our perception of the aging process physically really limited folks, and we probably prevented them from training the way they probably could have just for the sake of, oh, well, you're older. Yeah, I'm not going to do box jumps off of a 4 foot tall box anymore. I get that. But does that mean I can't ever bend my knees to do a squat? No. Disuse cultivates inactivity, and inactivity cultivates disuse. So the less I do, the less I'm going to be able to do tomorrow. And so as we hopefully establish a good fitness baseline early in life, the rest of life is about what can I enjoy that's going to allow me to retain that as long as possible, as opposed to losing things. And I'm one that doesn't want to be a burden on my family. When I get older, I want to be able to go and see things that might require me to walk or hike or even jog. So having goals like that can be an important part of just a healthy lifestyle.
You mentioned bone density earlier. So maintaining bone density is a concern for women as they age. How does exercise help maintain it?
Yeah, there was actually some landmark work done in the 80s that identified what was then called the Female Athlete Triad, or FAT, which is a very unfortunate acronym considering the population, because what it identified was primarily female athletes had a tendency and a greater likelihood than their male counterparts to suffer from an eating disorder, from amenorrhea, and from osteoporosis. Those were the three components of the female athlete triad. And over the years, it's been shown that it's not exclusive just to females, and it also involves a lot more than just those three components. And so today we talk about what's called Red S, Relative Energy Deficiency Syndrome. And under Red S, we do see those things, but we see others. We see psychological impact. We see a number of other physical manifestations where our body is in this chronic state of a lack of nutrients. We're burning more calories than we're taking in. And so one of the things that is most alarming, particularly for females, is the fact that calcium insufficiency in terms of intake ultimately leads to a loss in bone mineral density. And that can manifest as an increase in fall risk, and then frailty, and then the complications that occur. You know, if grandma falls down and breaks her hip, it's not just an orthopedic condition. There's actually a very real threat to her life. And the likelihood of recovering from that is fairly low in terms of returning back to previous levels of function. So impact loading and load bearing, our body is a miraculous thing. And as we load bone, as long as we're taking in the nutrients, if we tear it down just a little bit, our body actually builds it back stronger than it was before. And so over time, load-bearing activity, and that could be jogging, that could be something like squatting or deadlifting. If we're loading the skeleton, then our body will invest the resources and the energy that it takes to maintain that. And so exercise allows us to slow down the rate at which we lose bone mineral density. And in a lot of adolescents, the thing is our ability to really make massive deposits or build bone density kind of peaks in the early 20s. And after that, it's almost like you've invested in this bone account, and then you're just making withdrawals for the rest of your life. Well, using that financial analogy, if I put $200 in there the first 25 years of my life, I don't have much to pull out. And there's not much that can occur before that deficiency really comes to light. Whereas if I've steadily invested in that over time, and skeletally that young athlete is as robust and strong as she or he can be, then those withdrawals over time are less likely to result in traumatic injury. So it really is a long, to lean into that financial analogy again, it's a long game. We're looking to make slow, steady deposits so that those withdrawals don't negatively impact us.
What are some common exercise-related injuries, and how can they be prevented?
Yeah, that one is freighted with a lot of conditions. It really depends on a lot of things. So for an endurance athlete, the risk is overuse and chronic things like tendonitis, stress fractures, those kinds of things. Whereas for an explosive athlete, if an individual is a high jumper, then it's going to be more related to muscle strains and acute fractures. If they're in a contact or collision sport, then we've got the risk of injury from colliding with another human. So I would say it really depends. And in terms of prevention, we don't really talk about injury prevention as much anymore as we talk about injury risk mitigation. And that sounds like a lot of lawyerese. But the point is, if I play competitive football for guys my age, okay, there's going to be some injuries involved in that, right? I can't prevent all injuries, but how can I minimize my risk? Well, I can be flexible. I can be as strong as possible. My nutrient intake can be appropriate. So there are things that I can do that are going to minimize my risk, but I'm never going to be able to completely prevent it. The only way to prevent that is to not play. And so another aspect is maybe winnowing athletes in the direction of sports that maybe match their genetic potentials. There's certainly differences in muscle fiber type. An elite Olympic sprinter can't just suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to become an elite marathoner. There are some genetic predispositions there. So helping kids kind of find their way. It's a classic story. Michael Phelps, his mom, he had asthma and he had some conditions that were preventing him from playing kind of organized team sport, baseball and basketball. And his mom notoriously got him in a swimming pool and he became the most decorated Olympian ever. And so one of the best ways is really to find what best fits, what doesn't feel like work, what is something I can enjoy. And a lot of times that can be a key in ensuring that athletes are happy and healthy and physically protected against injury.
What are some tips for women to stay active when they're not feeling their best or if they're just starting an exercise program?
Yeah, I think we really have to temper our expectations. Lots of times folks will enter into, we see this at the start of the year, and I think that the last time we talked about New Year's resolutions and things like that. There may be some compelling reasons why now's a great time to start. And then we start and we don't see that immediate result in the mirror or on the scale or how our clothes fit, and we're tempted to quit. And so I think having grace is important, but I've also learned for myself that if all I do is lean into the it's okay, then I never really get rolling. And so there's kind of a healthy balance there. I don't want to beat myself up and add one more thing to my guilt trip about, oh, you said you were going to do this and you didn't. But I also can't be so forgiving of myself that I never get in the gym or do the things. And so instead of focusing so much on motivation, lean into discipline. Understand that, okay, I'm going to set a goal of 4 days or more this week of meeting my move goal. A lot of us have iPhones and they have the rings. If you've got an iWatch, there's actually some other rings that you can add to that. Set realistic goals. It won't do me any good to set goals based on who I was physically 3 years ago or 10 years ago. It makes sense based on now. And that's something that you sometimes, if you're really just starting for the first time in a long time, you don't know what a realistic goal is. And so you need to be somewhat flexible, figuratively as well as literally, and understand that those goals are going to change over time and give yourself permission. This is about finding what I can do regularly and less about checking a box and being legalistic in, oh, you didn't do it, so you're a horrible human being. That's counterproductive. And to me, it's enough to lift the physical weights. I don't want to have to lift the mental weights of feeling like I'm a failure to myself for a deadline or for a goal that nobody else cares about in the world except for me.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate what you guys are doing with the podcast, and it's an exciting time. I know this will continue to grow. And for anyone out there that's listening, I would encourage them to find community, whether that's a Facebook group or an office group. There's a lot to this, and I'm preaching to myself here. Lots of times I have a tendency to self-isolate, and it's like nobody cares about this except for me. And, you know, I don't want to burden somebody with my health journey, if you will. But there's mountains of evidence that proves that in community, when we've got some shared accountability, we'll be more successful and we'll enjoy the process more. So whoever your people are, wherever they are, whether virtual or in person, find them and then lean on them. And those individuals are much more likely to make this something that they can consistently do, as opposed to these short seasons of adherence followed by months and months of neglect, I guess you could say.
Well, thank you again for coming on our podcast and for this wonderful advice. You've definitely given us a lot to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to be here.
Thank you for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Hope Caperton, and me, Melissa Whitfield.